just remind folk our fill-ins are in the back of our sheet this morning. And we're continuing in our series on the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We've looked at that. Your kingdom come. And last week you saw your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm hearing that Raymond actually got Darth Vader somewhere into that sermon. A marvel. And as I hope we've seen, the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, they've all got to do with God. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Whatever our situation, whatever our circumstances are in life, that's where we've got to start in prayer. Not only does it give God the honor that is his by right, but it prepares us for the way in which we're going to come into the presence of our Father and then bring him what I call our shopping list of requests. We begin with God's glory, then we look this morning for the first petition that really has got to deal with us directly. One writer put it this way: God does not forget our humanity, so we should never forget his divinity. And that's where we start with the Lord's Prayer. But I think it's important to see, just as important to see, that the next three petitions are just as important. We don't want to put them to secondary. We start with God, but the next three petitions in the Lord's Prayer, they're just as important as the ones we've looked at. Why? Because God is a God who cares. This is what we've got to see. God cares for every single one of us. The God who cares about the future and the recreation of his universe is the God who cares about the small things in our lives that we think are trivial. And that's why we pray. Give us today our daily bread. That's what we're looking at today. Give us today our daily bread. First fill-in this morning: God knows our needs and delights in supplying them. And some folk find that hard to believe. God will meet our needs. And God is not a stingy God. This is what we've got to see. God supplies our needs. God, as we were hearing in our sort of reading this morning, God feeds the birds. God dresses their lilies. He clothes the grass. And that's the same God who says, I will sustain my damaged earth as much as I'm going to sustain my damaged people. And that's why we can come to God this morning with confidence that God's going to meet our needs, because that's what he says he's going to do. So what does it mean when we say, give us today our daily bread? Fill-in number two says, bread sums up our basic material needs. That's what we're talking about when we come to God to pray, give us today our daily bread. We're not just praying for a loaf. That's what we've got to see. We're praying for those things that we need in order to live, for food and for shelter and for clothing. And it can even be taken further: friendship, fellowship, a job. It can even cover our emotional needs. This idea of daily bread is quite a broad aspect. And we've got to see this, because sometimes people think that I am too small to bring my trivial needs. If God is looking after the whole universe, is it not a bit much to me ask for these little things that are bothering me? And God this morning says, no, it's not. The God who is Abba Father, the Father is concerned about every single one of our needs, and we've got to see that this morning. And this is a view that most of the reformers took, surprisingly, when it came to this petition in the Lord's Prayer. John Calvin, daily bread, whatever God knows to be essential. That's what we're praying for when we say, give us today our daily bread. Whatever is essential. Martin Luther went further. Everything necessary for the preservation of this life: food, healthy body, good weather. That's a joke in Dumfries, apart from this year. House, home, children, good government, even peace. He's managed to get peace in that loaf that we're asking for this morning. And I think there's little doubt that when Jesus first gave this instruction to the disciples, you know, praying for daily bread, they would have remembered the way in which God had supplied the people of Israel with manna from heaven when they had left. They get out of there and they're going to the promised land, and God feeds them with manna. But why have we got to pray every day? Why is it, give us this day daily bread. Philip number three says, praying daily reminds us of our dependence on God. This is why it is. Every day, we've got to come to God in dependence. I think the great thing when God provided the manna from heaven, it was provided on a daily basis. Now, I think it's great. God says, I'm going to feed you every day. And this manna stuff sort of came down. And anyone know what manna means? I love this. Manna means, what's that? That's what it means. What's that? Because it's all this white stuff all on the ground. And some bright spark took it and baked it and they got bread. And God says, I'm going to provide you with daily stuff. You're going to get some of the what's that, and then you're going to get some quails. And that's what he sustained them with throughout all their wanderings. But the thing was, in Exodus, they had not to get more than stuff for a day. Now, it was all over the place. Can you imagine it? All over the desert and all this white stuff. And God says, remember, don't take any more than you're going to need for the day. Now, that's a bit dubious, isn't it? You know, if God said, take 2 pounds of it, or take a couple of kilos of it would be okay. What would you do? I think I know what I would do. I think I'd take a wee bit more. Just in case. Just in case. You don't know. He says it's coming tomorrow. Why don't we just keep a wee bit by? Or I would take my allotted amount and maybe not eat it all. Keep some for tomorrow. And some of the folk did that. And what happened was it just all rotted overnight and full of maggots, it says. And as they collected their what's that every day, they were learning every single day to depend on God. And they got into this habit of the daily what's that and the quails. Give us this day our daily bread, not only talks about God's provision, it's gratitude for God's provision. Because I think that's more of our problem today. You know, it's harder for us to feel gratitude because I don't think there's anybody here this morning who thinks, I wonder if I'm going to have enough to eat tomorrow, you know, in the fridge. We've got cupboards that are stacked. We never think we're going to go hungry tomorrow. So quite often what we can do is we can just almost lessen our dependence on God. I don't need God to look after my stuff, to eat, a work. I can buy stuff. Give us this day our daily bread is trying to teach us we've got to be dependent on God because we do not know what our circumstances are going to be. And God's going to provide for us, it says, every single day. So easy to take God's provision for granted. The psalmist says this, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his love endures forever. So that's part of the thing we do when we say that prayer. We're giving thanks to God for the provision he's given us. Philip number four says, praying for daily bread warns us against greed. And I think that's a bigger problem we've got. Most of it's not poverty, it's probably greed. Now when I was preparing this earlier in the week, a song came into my mind, an advert, and I cannot place it. And I know you wise people will be able to place it for me because I've been thinking all week and I don't know what it was advertising. But the advert was, remember, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. What is it? Anyone know? I don't know what it is. That's been with me all week and it's only about 5 or 6 years old. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? No, it's an advert. It's an advert. Definitely advertised something. It did. I know it was a song, but it was a song advertising something. And I don't think it was a Mercedes-Benz. No. In fact, there's a prize. There is a prize for the first person who can authenticate what that advert is. I will give them a prize. And they can't use, you know, get all these iPads. Look, they've all got their phones out, you know. You know, everyone who's got one of these fancy Apple phones up here now, you know, there's no poverty there. Man, The first non-iPadded answer. I'll get it. I don't know what it is. I've been thinking. It's worried me all week. I'm getting old. I'm forgetting. No, I don't get it from Mercedes. No. I know it's a song. I wish I'd never put it in now. Just forget it. Forget it. Go back to filling number four. Forget about the song. I've been trying to forget about the song for 3 days. And I know it's a song. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I've got a minister's meeting on Tuesday. I know what I'm going to say. How did he get on Sunday? It was going fine till fill in four. You know, after fill in four, all they thought about was the song. Is it? It's for Mercedes-Benz. Ah. Can you play it? Come up here then, quick. Come on, bring it up. We need authenticity in our sermons. Can we put this one on? Is it for Mercedes-Benz? Put it in there.
I don't know what it is.
Mercedes-Benz. My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. With her on my left hand, no help from my friends.
Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?
Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?
My friends all drive Porsches.
Let's hear it from the Mercedes-Benz. Thank you. A prize will come your way. It's not a Mercedes-Benz. It's for a Mercedes-Benz. Wow. Yeah. Can I just say this morning that all other cars are equally good? God provides us with not only what we need, but also what is best for us. And I think what we've got to see in this Lord's Prayer is sometimes some of us couldn't handle wealth or poverty as well as others. And it seems a bit unfair, but I think this is the way God works. Sometimes God gives riches to some folk who can handle it, and sometimes God asks some people to be poor because they can handle it. And that happens in God's kingdom. God will never allow me to become wealthy. It just won't happen. It's not going to happen. Certainly not in the Church of Scotland stipend. But it's not going to happen. I could never cope with wealth. Can you imagine the number of shoes I would have if I was wealthy? That would be a lot. Well, the size of the fish tank, I was thinking that as well. You know, really, whoa. Yet God allows some people to become wealthy, extremely wealthy. And most of them, that God allows that to happen, they are very good at giving their wealth to other people. I've seen that in churches that I've been ministering in the past. Some folk have had extreme wealth, wealth that would have buried me. It really would have. But they were given also the gifts from God to be able to give money away. And I think it's the same with poverty. Poverty would destroy some of us. Yet some Christians will live in involuntary poverty, or God calls them to a calling of poverty so that they can either be an example to others or also to give away wealth. I love this saying in Proverbs. I've never noticed it before, I don't think, but I like it. It says in Proverbs, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God." That's where most of us are. When we're talking about daily bread, God's not going to make us overly wealthy, but God might not make us poor either. And I think most of us are in that stream. And I think coping with affluence today for many of us is harder than coping with poverty. And that's fill-in number five. It says, we need to avoid attitudes and lifestyles which weaken our dependence on God. I think most of us, that's a serious thing. We know we've got stuff in the cupboard. We know we've got money in the bank. We know we've got insurance policies. We're feeling fairly safe. So do I really need to depend on God as much as I do? And we've got to get to the stage of these people with the what's it and the quails to rely heavily on God's provision. Because it's so easy to get into the mindset that I'll be more content with the next job and or a bit more money or the bigger house or the extra room or whatever it is. And I think that day never comes. And what came into my mind, remember the parable of the rich fool? The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? I've no place to store my crops. Now, what I think about that parable is up until then, it's great. He's probably been a hard-working farmer. He's probably worked all these hours taking in his crops, and his crops are getting bigger and bigger, and he says, what am I going to do? He then says, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years, he says to himself. Eat life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And then God says, you fool, this night your life was demanded of you. And the question I was asking myself this week was, when he was farming his crops, when he was planning his barns, when he was overseeing the construction, when he was dealing with builders, nobody likes to deal with builders. Are there any builders this morning in here? No? Yeah, you know what builders are like. I've had two or three stories from folk in the congregation the last couple of weeks. They've had builders in. Oh, man. What was this guy doing? And more importantly, where was God in all his planning? I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to have more stuff. I'm going to cram it all in. I'm just going to take things easy because I've got all this stuff from my hard work. And God says, you're a fool because you've lost your dependence on me. And tonight for you, that's curtains. Your soul's required. You're going to come and speak to me. That's what that means. And you're going to give an account of what you've done with the stuff that I gave you. Did you use it for good uses or did you use it for your Mercedes-Benz? And what the end of the parable says, and it's quite a striking one, it says, this is how it will be for those who store up things for themselves but are not rich towards God. And that's the sort of tension in the sermon we've got this morning. And the one thing God is going to provide us with our daily bread. But we've got to watch that we don't store up all these riches for ourselves and they begin to overtake our dependence on God. Because we will follow the guy in the parable where one day God's going to say, you fool. You know, you could have done so much more with the gifts I gave you. You could have done so much more for the talents you had. You could have done so much more with the money I gave you. And that's the thing we've got to watch. The next thing is, give us today our daily bread. It's a prayer not just for ourselves. Give us today our daily bread reminds us to keep others in mind. Because it might seem a bit, funny here. It's in the plural. Give us today. It's not give me today my daily bread, even if we're praying the Lord's Prayer on our own. It's give us our daily bread. And fill-in number six says, God gives us daily bread so we can give to others. Not all of us, but God gives most of us more than we need. And if we're in that position, God says your responsibility is to give to others. Came across this great story in the life of John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher. And a friend of his had fallen on very hard times. So he sent him a letter. John sent his friend who had had hard times a letter. This is what it said. Dear Sammy, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's what he sent to him. And with the letter, he enclosed 2 5-pound notes. Now, we're going back hundreds of years. 5-pound notes is a lot of dosh. And his friend replied this way, I have often been struck with the beauty of the passage of Scripture quoted in your good letter, but I must confess that I never saw such useful expository notes on it before. And God gives most of us more than daily bread, so that we have the opportunity to give cheerfully to others. And I love this passage in James. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if people claim to have faith but have no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but there's nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? And that's a warning for every single one of us. Our daily bread is to be shared. And primarily, I think it's to be shared with brothers and sisters in Christ. Other Christians, other churches in other places. Rwanda. And God will put this in some of our hearts. And that's what we've got to watch what God is going to do. If God begins to put things in your heart, could be somebody in the congregation, it could be overseas, it could be a neighbor, whatever it is. So often the Holy Spirit will prompt you to do something. I don't know if I've ever told you this story. If I have, don't stop me. Just think you've heard it for the first time. I went to, it's just come out of my head just now, like the Mercedes-Benz one. I went to a conference. I can't even remember what the conference was. It would have been a deep spiritual conference. I can't remember. And what they do at these conferences, I think it's in case you're sleeping, because they provide the CDs for them. You know, you've listened to the guy speak. It's not enough to listen to him speak. You've got to buy CDs of the thing that you've just heard. And I thought, I'm going to buy them. This was a wee bit earlier on in the ministry, and I was a bit poorer than I am now, probably. And it was quite a lot. I think it was 50 quid. And I had 50 quid on me. I took that as a sign from the Lord. I had 50 quid on me. So I was in the queue, ready to buy these CDs. And I don't know about you, God does not speak to me very often through some kind of strange incident. When I was standing in that queue, God said to me, I had met a guy at lunch, and God said, buy the tapes, CDs. Praise God, I said. And he said, for him. And I said, praise God, I'm being so generous. No, I didn't. I said, you're kidding? I wanted the tapes. And I remember thinking, what am I going to do here? You know, and it sounds ludicrous now. I think I'd heard God speak, and God said, you've got to buy them, and you've got to give them. But there's richer folk here than me. They can buy them for them. I could buy them and illegally copy them and give them. And he says, no. And you want to know how it makes you feel? I remember handing them over and saying to this guy in a very pious way, I think God wants you to have these tapes and you can have them. And he was amazed. And I walked away thinking, I still wanted those tapes. I did. But God wants us sometimes just to be generous with the daily bread that he's given us. And then we get the passage in Luke. Given, it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. And this is a strange thing. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And I think some of the most generous people I know are not necessarily the folk who've got the most money, but they continually give, and blessing seems to just pour back into their lives. And they're blessed, because God blesses them in a special way. And what God invites us to do this morning is really just to trust him, especially if you're worrying about something in daily bread, and most of us are. If we're taking daily bread as a provision, if we're taking daily bread and what we need, then God is saying this morning, can you trust me with your daily bread? Trust Abba Father. Because sometimes anxiety can come from the things we want, and it can be a form of atheism. And anxiety can be a terrible thing sometimes, because when our fears and our anxieties fill our mind, it can get to the situation that God has no place. You know, we worry about some of the things we want sometime, and we think, is God going to provide? And in some way, we sort of nearly push God out, and our worries consume us, and so often God is lost. And it's that time we need prayer. This is a funny thing. This is the time we need prayer. We either got to pray ourselves or we've got to get some friends and saying, look, this is the situation I'm in. I need prayer for this. And that's why it's give us our daily bread. Because sometimes we can get ourselves into such a situation or circumstances can be so dire that we can't pray for it. We know the Holy Spirit prays for us, but we need somebody else to say, look, can you, I need you to pray this before God for me. And that's what we've got to learn to do as a fellowship, to be praying for one another. Why? Because I think prayer does practical things in these situations. We're not trying to escape our situation. And sometimes our situation hasn't changed. But what happens is sometimes our preoccupation with our anxieties change. And we're reminded who God is. And we can change. And we can become less concerned with the things that we want. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And he says, what is it come? It's the peace of God that passes all our understanding. Now, sometimes folk have got to pray that peace into our lives. Because sometimes the last thing we want to do is to pray, because we're just not in that situation. The burdens we've got are just too heavy. And we need somebody to pray into our situation for that peace to come. And it says it's the peace of God which transcends all understanding. And where does it go? It's our heart and our mind. We'll be guarded by God. Because what happens in this kind of prayer is we realign ourselves with God's will, his will to be done. We remember that God is transcendent. We remember that God is sovereign. We remember that he's bringing about his kingdom and we are part of it. And we remember the ways he's delivered us in the past. And that can be a sign that God is going to deliver us in the future. Give us today our daily bread. We've got to be unashamed dependence on God. All we have comes from him. And we've got to be thankful for it. And we don't want to lose sight of God in all we have or all we're pursuing. And what can separate us from this God and God giving us our daily bread? And the answer to that is maybe forgiveness. Next week, Holiday Club. 150 new faces, guaranteed. The week after, debts, sins, and trespasses. Pick the one you're going to miss. Amen.